a special day. The title of my message tonight is called Seek the Shepherd. And as we just heard, that was Psalm 23 from my brother Aaron. God used a man named David, who he described as a man after his own heart, to write that psalm. The Oxford Dictionary, it describes a psalm as a sacred song or hymn. So David's big hit, his number one song, the title track to his album, so to speak, is Psalm 23. See, most people, even if they've never been to church, have heard at least some of that psalm. In movies, whenever there's a funeral or someone dies, you usually hear a bit of it playing in the background. In real life, it's probably the most popular bit of scripture that's ever spoken in hospitals or funerals. See, Psalm 23, it's an uplifting and encouraging song. It basically reminds us that no matter how deep that valley we may be in, no matter how high the mountain in front of us is, that God's in control, that he has your back, no matter what you're facing. See, when everything in life's going along good, when we're sitting here in church and life's great, how great is our God, everything's good. Most of us, let's be real, we have no problem with glorifying God and believing the promises in his word. But when we're doing it tough, when it feels like the hordes of hell have come against you and your family and your health and your finances, you're like, God, what's going on? That's when most of us struggle with faith. We struggle deep down believing that what's written in that book is for us as individuals. But what I found most interesting about Psalm 23 is when David wrote it, he was at probably the lowest point in his life. At that time, his own son Absalom had taken his kingdom from him with force. His own army was chastening him down, trying to kill him. The people who once loved and exalted him as king, they now despised and persecuted him. David was hiding out in a cave, tired, lonely, hungry, with not a thing to his name. And any parent here who's had a kid do the wrong thing by him will understand what I mean when I say his heart would have been torn in two. Let's ask you a question. What made David so different to us? That even in his lowest point in his life, he knew deep down in his heart that God would always protect him and provide for him no matter what he faced. See, Jesus said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay my life down for the sheep. See, I believe the big difference between David and us, David had been a shepherd for most of his life. He understood better than anyone what the role of the shepherd was back then. See, we as Westerners in this modern world, we read this psalm and we miss the real impact and meaning of it because we have no idea what the role of the shepherd was back then. But if we start to understand what the role of the shepherd and the sheep was back then, it puts a completely different spin on it. You see, a shepherd back then, he knew his sheep. The good shepherd knew each and every one of the sheep in his flock as individuals, regardless of how big they were. The shepherd provided for his sheep. Sheep are helpless. They're helpless without him. He knows the need of each and every animal in the flock. He leads them from place to place, ensuring they are well fed. He actually used to have to draw water for them because sheep have a tendency to fall in and drown into the rivers and stuff if they're left to drink by himself back then. He restores his sheep. Sheep that fall over when they got a thick coat of wool, they have trouble getting back up again unless someone helps them. A bit like me when I have a big feed of Krispy Kremes. I'm like a big turtle trying to get up off the lounge. Barbara has to help me up. But see, the shepherd would watch over his sheep, and if one fell, he'd rush straight to their side and get them back up again. He used to guide his sheep. Shepherds constantly guiding his sheep from place to place, ensuring they are well fed and free from danger. And he used to comfort the sheep. He'd keep the sheep from wandering off on their own and getting lost or eaten. If they are sick or injured, he'd look after them and provide for them. And he'd protect them from every single danger and take care of every need. See, that's the role of the shepherd. And the sheep, they cannot survive without him. But we live in a world that tells you you don't need a shepherd. You can make your own way in this world. Do what you want, whatever you feel like. If you've got to be true to yourself, you've got to do whatever you feel. I remember a few years ago, it's where I got the inspiration for this word from. My awesome, amazing wife, Barbara, over there, and my main man, Sam, and me, we went on a holiday at a place called Eagle Mount. It's a little prayer retreat out past Gympie. And Barbara and Samuel were heading into town one day, and the old guy who owned it, amazing man, he just asked him if they would, with their car, just chase the sheep from the top paddock down to the bottom paddock. That's the grass in the top paddock. It was all dead and dying and gone. But the grass in the bottom paddock, it was long and thick, and it was a perfect environment for them to grow and be blessed. See, the shepherd wanted to bless the sheep. And as they were doing it, there was one sheep who just wouldn't listen. It refused to be told what to do. It knew better. You're not telling me what to do. I know better. And it refused to listen to the advice of the shepherd. And as a result, it not only missed out on the blessing the shepherd wanted to give it, but it ran the wrong way, jumped into a fence and hurt itself. How many blessings have you missed out on in life? Because you won't listen to your shepherd, Jesus. How many times have we all caused ourselves pain because we know better and have to do it our way? See, no matter what way you want to twist things to ease your conscience or justify your actions, the truth is still the truth. If you want to rule in life like God created each and every one of us to do, we all need a shepherd. But to really understand this, we've got to understand where we fit into this. If God's our shepherd, what are we? Sheep, which is pretty sad, I reckon. I mean, let's face it, sheep wouldn't be your first choice of animal. They're not the most majestic creature on the planet. Sheep aren't smart. They can't defend themselves. You know, they're certainly not pretty. But we're God's kids, his greatest creation. We're made in his image. So why would he refer to us as sheep? What's the point he's trying to get across to us? Sheep desperately need a shepherd. They can't survive without one. God's reminding us that we all need his love and his guidance. And if we seek him, he takes care of all our needs. See, the biggest thing about sheep, they don't strive. Sheep don't care about nothing. They just stay close to the shepherd. So let's break this psalm down a bit. Verse 1 and 2. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. If God's your shepherd, you no longer have to chase the right situation. You just have to chase the shepherd. If God's your shepherd, if Jesus is the center of your life, you no longer have to chase the perfect job, the perfect partner, the perfect family, having a big bank account with a big house and a white picket fence and a dog named Spot. Go Spotty. If God's your shepherd, your identity is in him. You no longer care what other people or the world thinks about you. If God's your shepherd, everything in life gets really, really simple. He takes care of all your needs. You just got to chase after him. He does the rest. I remember when I first met Jesus face to face, God turned my life around a big way. I remember walking into a room, a violent, self-centered, drug addict, adrenaline junkie that was crippled with guilt and shame. But in that room, I met Jesus. In that room, I had an encounter with him. In that room, Jesus did for me what I could not do for myself. I walked out of that room set free, literally a new creation. Chains broken, prison open, I was set free. For who the Son sets free is free indeed. My life was turned completely around. I literally went from one extreme to the other like that in a heartbeat. And I remember as I'm walking up, I had every man and his dog coming up to me going, now you need to do this and you got to stop doing this and do this. Don't do this. And I didn't know what this church thing was much about, and it confused the crap out of me. And I remember just dropping to my knees in worship, and I went, God, what's going on? I just met you. What's happening here? And it's the very first time I heard God's voice in my life, and I heard it so clear. And he gave me Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all ways and he will direct your path. He then told me so, so clearly that I am to concentrate on spending intimate time with him daily and forget everything else in life. In other words, he told me to seek the shepherd. Verse 3, he refreshes my soul. Your soul's your mind, your will, your emotions. If you seek the shepherd, he renews your mind and gets rid of all that destructive stuff that constantly brings every one of us down. The more time you spend with Jesus in his word, the quicker those things go. And make no mistake about it. Jesus is the only way to renew your mind is through the word of God. The only way. There is no other way. It's the only way to fix that messed up stuff in here. See, when you read this daily, Jesus and the word are one. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, when you read this, you're not just learning about God or reading some cool story. You're actually putting Jesus in here. And he brings all that messed up stuff under his authority and rule. The word is how God renews your mind. The word is power. And the same thing applies to the storms in life you go through. When you speak the word of God out over your problems, Jesus will bring that storm under his authority and rule. Peace, be still. We will be anxious for nothing, for the word of God is a double-edged sword, a light beneath our feet, and it does not return void in Jesus' name. See, God and his word are one. And God is in you to the degree his word is in you. God is in you to the degree the word is in you. And God's word, it's Lord over every problem, every trial, every addiction, every anxiety, or anything that holds you captive. It's the ruler of all storms. He guides me along the right paths for his namesakes. All those relationships you wanted to be in, only to find out later the person was a total loser. Thank the shepherd. All those things you wanted to do in life, and then later on you found out, wow, lucky I missed out on that. That would have been a bad choice. Thank the shepherd. All those times you're feeling a bit wild and wanted to do something you shouldn't have, a bit risky, but before you had the chance to step out, the door shut. Thank the shepherd. Verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Excuse me for a minute, sorry. See, highlight that word walk. Mark it, circle it, but do not forget that word walk. The fact is, whether you're a non-Christian, a baby Christian, or a 50-year Christian, valleys will come. It's a part of life that's unavoidable for all of us. But with Jesus as your shepherd, you don't stay in that valley. You don't make home in the valley. You don't settle down in the valley, for he will lead you through that valley, and you come out the other side closer to the shepherd. See, so many of us, we get in a valley, and then we run from the shepherd. And that's why we get stuck in the valley. If you're in a valley here today, there are better days ahead of you. If you put your hands in his and say, Lord, I trust you. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And you say, you are King Jesus in my heart. You are King Jesus in my life. And nothing or no one will hold back my praise. And you make Jesus the center of your world. That's the way out. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. See, we all have these wounds deep inside that attract the enemy. And if you see something dead or dying on the side of the road, what's the first thing it normally attracts? Flies. Something dead and attracts the flies. Now, stay with me here. But what we don't realize is the name Beelzebub is actually one of the names the devil goes by, and it means Lord of the Flies. Now, in Israel, back in these days, the shepherd, they used to coat the sheep's head with oil. You anoint my head with oil. They used to coat it with oil because the oil keeps the flies away. It repels the flies. You see, the flies, they're attracted to the sheep's eyes, ears, nose, and mouth. They would get up in there and lay their eggs. Then they'd hatch and get these little baby maggots crawling around the sheep's head, driving them nuts. The sheep would run around then, banging their head against rocks and trees, anything they could. A lot of them would kill themselves doing that. Does that sound familiar? That's what's happening all around us. There's one death in Australia. Everyone's suicide every 4 hours. So many people are crippled in life because of the devil crawling around in their head. But Jesus says in John 10, that my sheep hear my voice. So when the sheep, which is us, go to the shepherd, Jesus, He's the good shepherd that's anointing us all the time. You anoint my head with oil. And the oil keeps the flies, those destructive thoughts, the devil out of your head. See, if something inside of you is dying, if you're crippled in life due to trauma or unforgiveness or bitterness or pride or rejection or whatever, then the enemy's attracted to that. They swarm around like flies. He waits for a moment of weakness. They then get inside your head and run amok, twisting your thinking. That's why you need to stay close to the shepherd, because Jesus will keep the enemy away long enough for his perfect love to heal those wounds. And make no mistake about it. Jesus is the only way those deep, dark wounds you tell no one about will be completely healed. It doesn't matter what job you have or how much money you make. It doesn't matter if you're in a good relationship, a bad relationship, or no relationship. It doesn't matter how much alcohol you scull. It doesn't matter what you smoke. It doesn't matter what you inject, what pill you pop. It will not fix that brokenness inside. There is only one who can. And he's the one who takes your place. He's the one that looks at you with love in his heart. And he says, please, son, please, daughter, start trying to fix yourself and improve yourself and better yourself. And just let me love you back in the wholeness. See, all your struggles, all your efforts, all your discipline, devotion, determination, and abilities amount to nothing. They will not break your chains. They will not change your life, and they will not set you free. That's why Jesus came, to set you free. Understand, the shepherd gets on his knees, and he covers the sinful, dirty, carnal sheep's head with oil, protecting it from things it doesn't even know it needs protection from. That's how good our God is to you. That's what he does to all of us if you stay close to him. His protection is better than we realize. For Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. It's time we all stop listening to this and start to listen to what this says about you. You know, that says that God is for you, not against you. That he will never leave you nor forsake you, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, that you were created to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, to rule in life, that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a special nation, so you can declare the praises of him when he calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For all things work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. See, wherever you go, whatever you do, God's on your side. God's got your back, because the good shepherd always protects his sheep. But we live in a world that wants you to be scared. We live in a world that wants you to believe that the problems are greater than the God that created you and everything around you. We live in a world that wants you to think what's going on in the world is too big. We live in a world that tells you that church is a waste of time. God is angry and distant from you. No, he's praying. Your prayers won't get through the roof. But the devil is a liar. God doesn't curse you. He loves you. God doesn't punish you. He wants to bless you. It's the devil who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, not God. And all those bad things that have happened to your life, they happen when you drift away from the shepherd. God is perfect love, but perfect love's a choice. If you choose to walk away from him, as much as it breaks his heart, he won't force you to stay. But when you seek the shepherd, in other words, make spending time with Jesus daily your priority. God turns things around. For what the enemy meant for harm, God will use for good. For Jesus came to set the captives free, and he came to set each and every one of you free. When you start to read your word and you understand that God's protecting you, it sets you free. You can live your life secure in the knowledge that you've got a shepherd. You may be doing it tough, but you got a shepherd. He'll walk you through it. You may be struggling to make ends meet, but you got a shepherd. It's going to be okay. You may be depressed, but you got a shepherd. You may have anxiety, but you got a shepherd. You may have a broken heart, but you got a shepherd. You may have health problems, but you got a shepherd. You may be an addict, but you got a shepherd. You may have lost hope, but you got a shepherd. And if you seek that shepherd, he'll provide for all of your needs according to you, his riches in heaven. For it is God that is at work in you for his will and his good pleasure, and he who starts good work will see it through to completion. It's not about us, it's about him. See the last verse, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My cup overflows. In the Jewish culture back then, if you're a guest at someone's house, you could stay as long as they kept pouring your drink, as long as they kept topping your cup up. But the minute they stopped filling your drink was the time you needed to go. Get out of here, leave us alone. Or as Big Arnie used to say, hasta la vista. But the minute they stopped serving your drink, you had to go. But God says your cup overflows. It overflows with mercy. It overflows with grace. It's not our full. It overflows. So that means you can sit in his presence day in, day out, no matter what you have done, no matter what you haven't done. He will always give you mercy. He will always give you grace. If you're sick, he's your healer. If you're broke, he is your provider. If you're depressed, he's your peace. If you're in darkness, he is your light. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. See, it's not enough just to know about the shepherd. It's not enough just to come to church. It's not enough to sing the songs or do some type of Christian karaoke or sit here and listen to a fat old man speak. You need a personal relationship with Jesus, your shepherd, 24/7. Not just on a Sunday morning. If the only time you hear scripture is when someone's here on a Sunday morning speaking it out, that won't fix this. That won't change your life. There's a time in my life I was bound. I was destined to live the lonely life of an addict. But then I heard about this awesome dude called Jesus. And that's why you need to come alongside Pastor Oscar and help him go out and evangelize and go into the parks and the streets, because it sets the captives free. If it wasn't people like him, none of us would be here today. But see, this time I was bound. And I tried everything in my own strength to get clean. I went to doctors, specialists, NA, rehabs. Nothing worked. I describe it like a man caught in quicksand. The more I struggled to get free, the deeper I sunk. But then one day I had enough. And I got desperate. Desperate enough to stop playing games, to stop being half committed. And I started to seek after the shepherd with everything I had. With everything. Nothing else mattered in life. I chased him like a junkie chases a fix. I really did. See, when I started to seek the shepherd with everything I had, with all my heart, then I met him face to face. And with one encounter, Jesus did for me what I could not do for myself. For in his arms, my addiction couldn't stay. In his arms, my violence and hate couldn't stay. In his arms, guilt and shame couldn't stay. In his arms, you are loved back in the wholeness. In his arms is freedom. In his arms is unconditional love. That's the power of the cross. See, the cross, it's bigger than your flesh. The cross, it's bigger than your mistakes. The cross, it's bigger than your past, it's bigger than your weakness, and it's bigger than you. Though we sin, we are still God's children. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and you can do all things through Christ who loves you and Christ who gives you strength. The presence of the shepherd. My strongholds just simply fell off. See, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to set you free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's the power of the cross. Thanks to the cross, you can boldly go before God and receive the love and mercy you need. See, this whole God thing. It ain't about someone pointing a finger in your face and telling you what you're doing wrong or what you've got to give up. It's about what Christ is inviting you to. And that's to love him, seek him, pursue him, stay close to him, the good shepherd, and he will change you. The fact is, you can make all your excuses, but there is not one area in your life that you cannot have victory in, no matter how bad it may be, providing you're willing to seek his face. In other words, make spending time with Jesus every single day your priority. See, God is not looking for perfect people. He's looking for available ones that want him. People that actually want to spend time with him. Now, what if today you started to really believe that the King of heaven and earth was on your side? How would your life change? What if right now you started to live your life believing that God's hand of protection is on you and he's gone before you? What if right now you started to worship him from a place of knowing that if God is for me, who can be against me? For no weapon formed against me shall prosper. What if right now we get up and we worship God with all our heart, with everything we got? See, now, today is your time. It's your time to draw a line in the sand, say everything's changing, and stand up, speak up, believe, and be who God created you to be. And you were created to be His son. You were created to be His daughter. You were created to rule in this life. God doesn't want you struggling through life. You don't have to struggle with addiction. You don't have to struggle with mental illness or financial, nothing. You just got to seek the shepherd and let Him do it for you. The Lord is your shepherd. You lack nothing. He makes you lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside quiet waters. He refreshes your soul. He guides you along right paths for His name's sake. Even though you walk through the darkest valley, you will not fear, for He is with you. His rod and staff, they comfort you. He prepares a table that before your enemies. He anoints your head with oil. Your cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let's give Him a shout of praise right now. Come on, give our shepherd praise. He's the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd who loves you where you are.
He knows. He knows. He knows exactly who you are and what you're going through. He knows exactly what you want and what you're going to do. You see, we're all trying to beat sin. We're trying to do it on our own too. But in the end, it comes back and it owns you. Even if you're Muslim, Buddhist, Christian, atheist, even if you're rich or poor or speak in different languages, even if it's a little white lie or you're a rapist, we've all sinned and fallen short the glory of His greatness, Selah. He sees all your evil thoughts like they're displayed with a 3D jumbo billboard in a playlist and enrolls a day which you can't escape it. You'll stand before that God who is holy and blameless. You see, we need Jesus. He is our shepherd. If you want to play that track.
Yeah. Couldn't be more transparent. Apparently you care for me like a parent. I swear it's the coldest winter ever on my shoulders. These days are long, them nights are even longer. That weight's so heavy on my back, I can't move. Can't somebody help me? Where do I turn to? And since I was a young and been gunning it all alone, I ain't asking for help, I just carried it on my own. And turning to God was for the weak links. I'm looking at life through such a weak lens. I can't see clear, ain't tears in my eyes. It's sweat pouring down from the years that I tried to be my own saviour. Said I'd never fail, but never had the righteousness it took to save myself. So this is where I turn, confess, believe that Jesus is the only saviour that I'll ever need. I repent tonight. It's like I always seem to fall. Catch me, can you catch me, can you catch me? Before I'm gone, I'm gone. Tried it on my own, I know I can't do it, but still I'm just holding on. And when you see me up, yeah, I'm really down. And when you see me smile, there's really no one around. So if I let go, promise you'll catch me now. Yeah. There I go again, falling, trying to be the man I should be, that's my calling. I'm just crawling, every time I try, I don't really try, 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 gotta stop. I'm on the verge of bawling, feeling like I'm hopeless, feeling like I failed and I'm groaning, cause I grip my teeth and I strive each moment, trying to be strong but daily I've blown it. Man, I know it's gotta happen, see some change gotta happen in me. I'm weak and some kind of power's lacking in me. I need grace, man, that'd be sweet. Do I really gotta earn you? Dear grace of peace, do I really gotta earn you? Can you forgive the time I burned through? I wanna learn and be free, but I hear I gotta turn and believe, please. It's like I always seem to fall. Catch me, can you catch me, can you catch me? Before I'm gone, I'm gone. Trying it on my own, I know I can't do it, but still I'm just holding on. And when you see me up, Yeah, I'm really down. And when you see me smile, there's really no one around. So if I let go, promise you'll catch me now. Yeah. There I go again. Yeah, I blew it. Everything I don't wanna do, I keep doing. Steadily feeling stupid instead of making excuses. I just need to face the music, I need ya. I lean on my own strength, but it's useless, cause healing only come by them stripes and them bruises. I chuck deuces and turn towards you, but sometimes I turn right back to it. Why do I abuse all the grace that you've given me? It's like I can't win, man, still got sin in me. And I struggle believing that you've forgiven me, cause if I was you, I would have been done, finished me. We are the same though, mentally, thank God. Look where you went for me, yeah. Grace is amazing, yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, called on my feet. You say that what you started, you'll finish and you'll complete. Yeah. So I'ma keep repenting to the day I leave. Yeah. It's like I always seem to fall. Catch me, can you catch me? Can you catch me before I'm gone? I'm gone. Trying it on my own. I know I can't do it, but still I'm just holding on. And when you see me up, yeah, I'm really down. And when you see me smile, there's really no one around. So if I let go, promise you'll catch me now. Just catch me now. Promise you'll catch me now.
Can I get the worship team up if that's all right, please? So you can't fix yourself. You can't change yourself. You can't live a life worthy of your calling. But all you got to do is stay close to the shepherd and he does it for you. That's what this cross is all about. It's not about making a way for you to go to heaven when you die. It's about Jesus making a way for you to have heaven here on earth, to set you out of the prison so you can live a life worthy of your calling. God is love. And everything he does is out of love. John 10, 27 to 28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. We are all like sheep in this unstable world. And as we just heard, sheep without a shepherd are on a path to destruction. Are you tired? Are you tired of being on that path to destruction? Tired of going around that same old mountain? Tired of dealing with the same old problems? Tired of being in that same old valley? The same old messed up thoughts in your head? If that's you, the good shepherd is calling you right now. And he's calling you as you are. He doesn't want you to clean yourself up. He wants you to come as you are. All your sin, all your pain, all your hurt, all your brokenness, all the dirt, as you are. The Bible says, knock and the door will be open to you. Jesus is knocking on your door right now. And all he wants is to love you back in the wholeness and watch you get set free today. But the fact is, it's up to you to get up and open that door. He's knocking on it, but you've got to get up and open it. And that is done by inviting Jesus into your life. The Good Shepherd with a simple prayer. Jesus is calling you right now. Will you let him in? Will you let him lead you out of that valley you're struggling with right now? And I'm not just talking to people who've never given their life to God before, but people who aren't where they are and might want to recommit. Just, if everyone could just a moment of reverence and just bow your head and close your eyes for the other people. And guys, forget about everyone else. This is your life. This is your eternity you're dealing with. If you need a shepherd right now, just raise your hand. Thank you, sis. If you want to invite Jesus into your heart right now, just raise your hand. It's not hard to do. If you're sick of wandering around that valley by yourself, raise your hand. Let's step out in faith, guys. Can I get those who raise their hand, just come out the front, stand over here. My brother Oscar and James and them are going to pray for you. This is your moment. This is your time. Don't be shy. God wants to set you free. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, what's your valley? Is it a valley of depression, anxiety, addiction? And don't get mistreated, addiction's a lot more than drugs and alcohol. Gossip can be an addiction. The woe is me, Debbie Downer attitude can be an addiction. Basically, anything that has some type of hold on you, a stronghold in your life, is an addiction. Or maybe you're in a financial valley. You're really struggling to make ends meet. Or it's a physical valley. Your health just isn't good. It's not where it should be. What's your valley? What's the pain that no one knows about? What are you facing? What keeps you up at night that you can't sleep because you're constantly worrying about it? The valley you're in, it's too deep. It's too dark. You feel like you can't go on. Well, the fact is, you're right. You cannot go on in your own strength. But there's one in that valley right here now with his hand open. And all you got to do is put your hand in his, and he will lead you out of that valley into the greener pastures. So if you're in a valley of any kind tonight, and it doesn't matter, valleys come to everyone, whether you're a living fossil in the Lord or a baby Christian, we all get them. If you're in a valley, come up the front. Don't worry about what other people are saying. Don't worry about looking around. Don't worry about if you lose face. Come up the front and let the good shepherd do for you what you cannot do for yourself. So if I could get the prayer team up to come and pray for these people. And God wants to set you free today. So as we worship him now, just come up the front for prayer and let Jesus do for you what you cannot do for yourself. In Jesus' name.